The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
And some Christmas ideas, perhaps, from my first guest this morning. We shouldn't be, look, I'm not even going to say we shouldn't be talking Christmas. People are just talking Christmas now, so we'll just deal with it. Caoimhe Walsh is part of the Magpie Collective in Waterford City. They opened in January of this year, so coming up to a year. And they're run by four local businesses with 38 makers from around Ireland. And they're doing things a little bit differently. And that's why we asked Caoimhe to come in this morning. She's one of those business people and she joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning. You're very welcome.
Good morning, Orla. Thanks for having me.
I've spoken to you in lots of different guys.
Lots of different things, yes.
Yeah. You've many strings to your bow.
always adding things, I think, as I go.
Is that your personality type? You wouldn't like a 9-to-5, would you not?
No, I even before, like, so I, the last 9-to-5 job I held was a receptionist job and I just hated it, and it was years ago. And I went into childcare after that and childminding in people's homes, and I loved that. So I like to be off doing my own kind of thing, you know. And then eventually got into the art sphere. I've been in that now for nearly 10 years.
So you do some teaching of art. You have Fat Lemon Prints.
I do a little bit of everything. So I think the main crux of it is I have ADHD, and my like favorite thing is learning new stuff, learning new art things. Not so great for school, but I love learning new art things these days. So I'm always kind of, I suppose, developing and like trying to add in new things and learn new things. So the teaching has taken a little bit of a back foot at the moment, but I suppose you've got to balance right the one or the other.
And when it comes to Magpie Collective, who are on Bailey New Street in Waterford City.
We are,
so if you're Christmas shopping in Waterford City, along the quay there, you'll be able to find it. And lots of great shops along there as well.
Yeah.
And just up one of the side streets there, where the big boat is probably the best
way
to.
The back of the Munster is also a good well. Like, we have a few different things we say to people.
Were you one of the people who came up with this idea?
So I suppose I have been looking to kind of start something like this since about 2020, and this opportunity just kind of presented itself. I've been involved in a couple, and the last one I was involved with was the Wildflower, which was in Youghal, the Wildflower Collective.
Lovely.
They have moved to Middleton, and when they moved to Middleton, it was just a little bit too far for me, unfortunately. So I had stepped back.
And what do you mean involved? Like,
so I would have been one of
there?
The makers.
Yeah.
So they have a collective where there's, I think there's 10 of them now. There was 16 at one point, and we all ran the shop together and stocked our own stuff there. So they have moved down to Middleton, where they're doing great, which is brilliant for them. But it just was too far for me. And so I was here at a market one evening with Kate, who is now part of the Magpie with me. And she had mentioned that there was someone in Waterford looking to start a collective. And so Ankuta, I think Ankuta might have been here a few times as well.
Yeah. She had a vintage store.
She did. So she had the Good Wardrobe in town, and she was looking for where we are now. So she was looking for somebody to come in and try and make a go of a collective. So there was a couple of us joined her. But unfortunately, she was kind of, I suppose she does a lot. Like, she's working, she's heading off on Erasmus this year, she's in college doing art. And so she was kind of, I think, just kind of getting to the end maybe a little. So she's still part of it with us. She's still one of our stockists. We have her vintage down the back. But she took a step back at the end of December last year, and I took over the lease. There was 2 years left. So hopefully we will be renewing that. But I had a few friends who I would have talked over the years about joining me. So I had Ava had Old Soul out in Tramore, and Ava had kind of gotten out of that game for a while. And I mentioned to her, would she be interested in doing a pop up for Christmas? And she kind of said she maybe wanted to get back into something a bit more creative. So she came on board. And then Catherine from Millie Designs years making kids clothes and adult clothes, fabulous, gorgeous, colourful stuff. And the first time I had looked at it, she had been like 100% on board. So this time when the opportunity came up, she joined me.
Brilliant.
And so me and Catherine spent most of the start of this year putting the shop together. We've built so much furniture.
And when you start a collective, so you're four business people. So when you start a collective, because you've 38 producers in there.
Yes, we do, yeah.
Do you have to be someone who is making something themselves, or you could just have the nugget of an idea?
So I suppose I had built a lot of connections over the years of small businesses and friends and makers, because I've always been passionate about sharing other businesses. And so I knew a lot of people who had a small business of some sort. We're not all makers necessarily. But so we have Kate and Ava both do vintage, Kate focuses on vintage slips and aprons and like smoking jackets and stuff.
And it's, where would these people normally be? At markets?
Yeah, and, so I met Kate through the Philly Grimes market, the late night market there. Yeah. And she's just a lovely person. She's fabulous. So she was running that with two other creators. They've taken a bit of a step back this year because they've all been busy too. So Kate works full time as well as this.
Mm.
And she has her vintage slips, etc. And that she kind of aims to style them as outwear clothing kind of and stuff and you know for whatever people really want, like.
And you have an objective that's a bit different from other collectives, I suppose, as well. You're very much leaning towards tell us about that.
So I'm queer myself, I'm non-binary and pan, and I kind of know that there's a market for shops that stock queer stuff all year round. Like, I know we hear a lot, I suppose.
Queer makers.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we have a lot. You hear a lot about rainbow washing. I was going to say green washing. Rainbow washing or rainbow capitalism comes around to June and suddenly everybody's selling rainbow stuff. And, you know, and like, it's just, there's another fabulous shop in Galway called Tolly's Craft, and they stock queer makers all year round and queer merch and stuff. But there's not too many, unfortunately. Mm. There's more and more markets that are popping up that are queer run and queer friendly and stuff, but there's just not a whole, like, even since opening the business, I have started looking for other queer markets other queer businesses in Waterford to support and to share and to kind of, you know, even get to know a little. And we just don't have a huge amount of spaces that are, you know, like, I suppose, safe spaces, like queer friendly spaces. So that was a huge, like, there's four of us running it, so we all have our things that are important to us, and that would be one of the things that's very important to all of us. So we have a large majority, we don't stock all queer makers, but we have a large majority of queer makers, trans, non-binary, all of the labels that fall into that bracket.
And you said a safe space. What do you mean by that?
So I suppose,
not to be judged.
Yeah, space where to come in. And we get a lot of younger kids come in who are so excited to see like stickers with pronouns and different flags.
Oh, so even a safe space for your consumers.
No, absolutely not. Like, we really believe in, like, we're trying to run our collective in a way that we're all stockists and have all been stockists in the past. So we work very hard to make it a good space for our artists.
Mm.
There's like a really like serious, we really seriously push community. We have our Magpie Makers group. We often get pictures into the group where a couple of our magpies, as they call themselves, have met up and sent us a picture and been like, hey, we met up because of the shop.
Lovely.
And so we really like focus on that and trying to keep in contact with each other. And we have a very open line of communication with all of our stockists. And I like to try and give our stockists as well the creative freedom to like send us what they want. And as we're all mostly neurodiverse as well. So as their things develop, that we're happy to take new products and, you know, different products and stuff. So we really like try to foster that community for our makers, but also for the people coming in. Like, I had one day when I was in there, these two kids come in and they were maybe 16, 17, and they had looked around the shop for ages and they'd bought a few stickers and they were walking out and they were like, this is the shop that I dream of owning when I'm older. And it meant so much to me to hear that and to know, like, they come back in, like, all these kids come back in, we see them regularly and they'll come in and they're really quiet and they won't talk to us, but they'll like look through all the stickers or look through all the new stuff that we have in.
And who's doing the stickers?
So we have lots of different makers doing stickers. So we have Katie's Nice Things. So Katie lives in Meath and creates really cute, cool stickers. A lot of them focus on like mental health. And then, as I said, we have all the different like pride flags and stuff like that and different things, but just also whatever Katie is interested in at the time. They've just finished a master's in psychology, I think it is.
Okay.
And so a lot of their stuff would be kind of like, it's just tongue in cheek and, you know, a bit of fun.
Yeah, I love a sticker.
Lots of different things like that. And we've Sarah's Simulacrum, who is another queer maker who makes really cool badges and stickers stuff.
Yeah. So perfect for young people, really, like schoolgoers.
That's it,
And we things like that.
Are very passionate as well about having stuff that's affordable up to the more, you know, the more expensive stuff. Yeah. So there's something for everyone in the shop as well, I think.
And talk to me about your secondhand and vintage clothing, because you've done something really interesting with this, in that, like, we've all seen vintage clothing and things, and that wouldn't even go on my leg.
Yes.
Because of the sizes back then. But you've gone up to size 36. How have you done this?
So it's not, so we have our vintage, and our vintage, we would say, go up to 24.
Wow.
Amazing. But our secondhand pre-loved items go up to a size 36.
Wow.
So I'm plus size and my art is very much focused on like the fat experience and fat positivity and enjoying yourself and your body and stuff.
Exactly.
So it meant a lot to me to try and get clothes like that in when we could. So we take consignment. So we either have people who would donate clothes that they're passing on or people who do consignment with us. And the only thing that we really do in consignment is take plus sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to source as much as possible because there are so many people out there now. And I suppose people are, there is still not enough access, but there is a bit more access online to plus size clothing. And so people are, you know, changing out their wardrobe. Mm. They want to change things up. And so we have a few people who will always come to us.
Brilliant.
Say, hey, I'm doing a wardrobe clear out and here's this, this and this.
Great.
And we just are constantly trying to source, you know, plus size vintage. We have a fabulous plus size vintage business called Pre-Loved Plus Size. And so Eva works really hard to try and find things up to 26, 28 if she can. And she's in Dublin. She's just gone full time with it and really getting a great response to it and stuff.
And some of her stuff is in the collective.
So some of her stuff is in the collective. Right. We also have our fabulous handmade items. So Catherine is a sewist and she sews up to a 6L or more if she can. And we also have Big Cutie Stitches, which is another local designer, Waterford designer. And Charlotte makes a lot of stuff out of, you know, like charity shop finds. Like she'll find old T-shirts that are kind of wrecked and cut the end of them and sew fabulous fabrics onto the end. And like she upcycles and makes dresses entirely herself out of fabulous, fun fabrics and stuff.
Amazing.
Really colourful and funky and stuff.
Such a good idea and so needed as well.
It's very
needed.
You can
feel very pushed out of the secondhand and
Absolutely.
Vintage market. So that's
100%.
Great to see it.
Yeah.
Well, as we said, Christmas is on the way.
Yeah.
But you're there all year round, Cuiva, and you're called the Magpie Collective. There's lots of different collectives around the southeast, so it's great to see you doing something different with this as well.
Yeah.
And as you said, you're run by you and three other local businesses and 38 makers from around Ireland, and you're really passionate about making sure these people are producing in Ireland as well.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
So good stuff if you're shopping and you want to feel good about yourself. The Magpie Collective, check them out on Instagram. If you just search for the Magpie Collective,
you'll find us.
And Cuiva, best of luck with everything. It sounds like you've had a really good year already.
We've been really, really grateful to the people of Waterford. We've had a great year.
Great stuff. Thanks a million for coming in this morning.
Thank you very much, Orla.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
It is the Sunday Grill on a Sunday morning, of course. That's why it's called the Sunday Grill here on Beat 102-103. And on the run up to Christmas, sometimes all you need is a good cheesy Hallmark movie. And not only does the one that we're going to talk about now have an Irish slant, but it also has some Wexford connections. 'Tis the Season to be Irish tells the story of a real estate investor who travels to Ireland from the States to flip a cottage before Christmas, as you do. And the local Irish man who sold her the cottage agrees to help her find a new buyer. And guess what happens? Yes. They have a Christmas holiday romance. Now, great stuff. But what we're really interested in is the furry co-star who's from County Wexford. Barbara the Sheep plays Lamb Chop and she stole some of the Hallmark scenes. We're going to talk to Barbara's trainer, teenager Cuiva O'Donoghue, who's from Kia Ora Mini Farm in County Wexford, about her pet sheep, Barbara, and how she trained her. But first, here's a clip from 'Tis the Season to be Irish. And you might hear a bit of Barbara in her role if you listen carefully to this.
My mom said that Ireland is where wishes come true.
Give you a lift to your cottage? May your home always be too small to hold all your friends.
Look, that's you.
Her Christmas wish was a wash.
It's got character.
But could it still be home for the holidays?
Is this where a kiss under the mistletoe comes from?
You could be the place that I want to return to over and over again.
That was a clip, of course, from 'Tis the Season to be Irish, which is out now on the Hallmark Channel. Barbara the Sheep plays Lamb Chop the Lamb in the movie. And Barbara is from my home county of County Wexford. In fact, she's around the corner from me at Kia Ora Mini Farm. That's where she lives. And her trainer for the movie was Cuiva O'Donoghue, whose family owned Kia Ora Mini Farm. And Cuiva chatted to me during the week about Barbara. And she started off by describing our new Southeast celebrity.
I have Barbara the Lamb.
Okay.
My dad's friend rang him and asked if we would be able to train a sheep for a Hallmark movie. She's very friendly and she likes to go on walks and she'll do anything for treats.
Okay, sounds like a perfect kind of pet that you could train to be in a Hallmark movie. Now, your family own Kia Ora Farm in County Wexford.
Yeah.
So it's not too unusual for you to have a pet sheep, is it?
No, it's not. We have a few down on the farm, but she's the first one that would be called mine.
When did Barbara come along? Like, how did you pick her? How did that all happen?
My dad's friend, Eddie Drew, just rang him. And one of his friends, I think, had a lamb that could have been used for the movie because it was bottle fed.
Okay.
So it was friendly enough. And he brought her down to the farm because there'd be loads of people down there to so it would get used to people.
And then how did it become your job that you became the trainer?
Dad just kind of gave me the job because he knows I'd have patience for it.
So what kind of stuff did you have to do to train Barbara the sheep to be an actor called the unfortunate name of Lamb Chop in this Hallmark movie, which is called Tis the Season to be Irish? How did you train her? What sort of stuff did you get her to do?
For the first 2 days, I just sat in the pen with her and waited for her to come up to me. And when she started to trust me, I put her collar on and that I brought her for a walk. And then day by day, she started to trust me more and she wouldn't leave my side. And then she came everywhere with me till it was time for the movie.
Oh, do you love her?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's still your pet, I presume.
Yeah. Good she's stuff. Down on the farm now.
Oh, how lovely. Now, Tis the Season to be Irish, as we were saying, is a Hallmark movie. And you're going to see Barbara, a.k.a. Lamb Chop, in the movie in lots of scenes. Tell us some of the stuff that you'll see her in the movie.
There's one scene of her, they're kind of on a cliff and she runs to the main actress, Fiona Gubelman. And there's other ones of her going in and out of a crib.
And she goes into a pub or something as well, doesn't she?
She's outside a pub. Yeah.
And how did she do on set? Did you get to go on set as well for the movie?
Yeah, I was behind the camera and she'd come running to me then when I'm behind the camera.
Oh, brilliant. Was that a good experience for you?
Yeah.
And where was the set? Where was the base that you had to go to?
In Red Cross.
Ah, very good. Okay. So is Barbara now a star of Kia Ora Farm? Do you have a little sign up to let people know she's in a movie?
We've had a few posts up on Instagram.
Has she been acting like a diva or anything since she's been in the movie game?
A bit.
What's her favourite treat? What does she like to eat?
She just loves her meal.
And has this made you think it's something you'd like to do or...?
Yeah, I did like it when I was up there. Just it was a good bit of waiting around.
Well, listen, thanks so much for talking to us and telling us all about your pet, Barbara the sheep. What age is Barbara now?
She's about 10 months, I think.
OK, so she's lots of years in the movie business ahead of her. Thanks a million, Cuiva. And say hello to Barbara, a.k.a. Lamb Chop, for us.
I will. Thank you.
Oh, I love a Wexford celebrity and Barbara is definitely a North Wexford celebrity. Do you want to have a listen and see if you can hear her in the movie? Because basically, you know, she hasn't got many lines, Barbara. She's more an action actress when it comes to films. So you might hear her a little bit in this. Keep an eye out. I played it a minute ago. There she is, Barbara, doing what she does best. Bang. Tis the Season to be Irish is what you're looking out for. On Hallmark, the Hallmark Channel, and it is out now.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
Across the southeast, it's Beat 102-103. Well, we were talking to Cuiva O'Donoghue earlier on about her pet sheep, Barbara, who plays Lamb Chop in the Hallmark movie, Tis the Season to be Irish, which is out now. It got us thinking about animals in movies and what we like and what we dislike. I never got to the end of Marley and Me. It was just way too sad for me. So we asked Odrin from Beat News to come up with some of his favourite animal movies, because if anyone was going to do it, it was going to be Odrin, because he gave me quite the list. So you've come up with three of your favourites. One is out now. You can watch it in the cinema if
yes,
you fancy
yeah.
it. And the other two are available on the Disney Pluses and all the usual places that you can find your movies. And we have included Marley and Me in there. In fact, yeah. Will we start with Marley and Me?
Yeah, I was going to say it's probably good you didn't get to the end, because I think it only gets sadder, to be honest.
Yes, I will play a clip of a very sad part. It's not the bit, but it just really sums up what people feel about their dogs and how close they are to their animals, especially dogs. And I find a dog movie very difficult to watch, I have to say, Odrin.
Yeah, I think it's because, you know, we, I suppose specifically with the traditional domesticated animals like cats and dogs, we all have such a massive attachment to them that
yes.
seeing any harm come to a dog is almost worse than seeing it come to a human on
yes.
screen.
Yes. So we watch this clip. This is Luke Wilson saying goodbye to Marley, who has reached a really grand old age.
Remember how we were always saying what a pain you are? You're the world's worst dog. Don't believe it. Don't believe it even for a minute. As you know, we couldn't find a better dog. You know what made you such a great dog is you loved us every day, no matter what.
Yeah, no, that's too much for me. I just find that so sad. That
yeah.
I think it's the idea of when you have an animal, you know that, you know, they're only going to live a part of your life and you just love them so much. Yeah. Are you a dog lover, Audrey?
I do love dogs. Now, I've never had a dog. My sister is this lovely dachshund called Harold.
Aww.
And he's absolutely wild and mental. A bit like Marley, actually, in the movie, completely yeah. causing a ruckus. Like, so it's one of those things, like, especially when you watch the whole movie and you kind of see the progression, like the growing up with the dog yeah. and kind of when they first get him and then all the way to the end, like, oh, it's utterly heart-wrenching, like,
isn't it? Really is. It's a good 16 years old now. It stars yeah. Jennifer Aniston God. As well as Luke Wilson. Do you remember watching this back in the day?
I think I went to see it in the cinema. Oh. And it's one of my very earliest memories in the cinema. And I think it was all anyone could talk about in school because everyone was so sad about it. And it's one of those movies that, you know, you went into it and it wasn't just the kids that were upset by it. The families that went into them as well were like, why did we go and see that? Yeah. We could have gone and seen, like, you know, an action film or something, would have come out a bit happier, like, you know.
And it was a book originally, of course. Yeah. And I remember reading the book. I don't know why I did that, because I cried at that as well. Marley was a Labrador retriever. It was a true story about this man's relationship with his dog. But it's kind of terrible that it was so sad towards the end, because it's quite a funny movie. Like, the dog yeah. is nuts in it. Absolutely nuts.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Marley and Me, a great suggestion for one of those animal movies to watch. Will we talk a little bit about Fantastic Mr. Fox? Because it's quite yes. quirky, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's one that I specifically have such an affinity to, because I grew up with all the Roald Dahl books and I used to remember having this massive CD box of all the different audiobooks for it. And then when the movie came out, I was a bit older and I was like, oh, I'll go and see this. Because I, for the life of me, I used to listen to them when I went to bed and I'd never catch the end of them because I'd be asleep at that stage.
Oh, cute and then, children.
But then I realised Roald Dahl books go so mental and weird at the end of them that I almost forget that, like, you know, it's kind of has a tendency to go off the rails. And then I went to see the movie and I remember just again falling in love with it, like especially with the stop motion animation and it being directed by Wes Anderson as well.
It's so quirky. Will we listen to a clip from it? This
Absolutely,
is actually
yeah.
from the very first scenes of Fantastic Mr. Fox, and it's himself and his wife on a little wander.
Supposedly it's just a 24-hour.
What'd the doctor say?
Nothing. Supposedly, it's just a 24-hour bug.
He gave me some pills.
I told you, he probably just ate some bad gristle. Should we take the shortcut or the scenic route?
Let's take the shortcut.
Oh, but the scenic route is so much prettier.
Okay, let's take the scenic route.
Great. It's actually slightly quicker anyway. Should we go through the hole under the horse fence or climb the rail over the bridle path?
Well, I guess the horse fence would be a little safer.
Well, but the bridle path puts us right out next to the squab shack.
Okay.
What's wrong? You're acting all skittish. Don't worry, I've been stealing birds for a living since before I could trot. By the way, you look unbelievably beautiful tonight. You're practically glowing. Maybe it's the lighting. I've been in this town so
long and back in the city. I just had to ask Ojan there who that was. That recognisable voice is
George Clooney and Meryl Streep.
And Meryl Streep. Yeah. And this is from back in 2018. And I am going to watch this weekend.
Don't say back in 2018.
I know, sorry. 6 years ago in 2018. I'm going to watch this tonight with Hannah, my child, because we're in a real Roald Dahl yeah. phase. And we're also listening to audiobooks of Roald Dahl.
It's fantastic.
As well.
It's brilliant. They still hold up to this day. I think a lot of them are just utterly amazing. And the movie is just an added bonus on top of it.
And nothing sad happens to any animals.
I'll let you watch it. I'll let
you. Bill Murray is in there as well, the amazing Bill Murray, and Owen Wilson of the Wilson fame, and Marley and Me connections with the Wilsons as well in there too. That is stop animation. We've done Marley and Me being a real life dog. Will we move on to another piece of more traditional animation, and that is Wild Robot, which is out in the cinemas now.
Yeah, it's actually funny. All three of the movies we mentioned so far have been based off books, and this is obviously no different to it as well.
Okay.
But The Wild Robot came out there recently and it's been receiving amazing reviews and everything. When I went to see it as well, I was kind of going in with that expectation of it being very good, and when I went in, it even surpassed that even more, because the way it's kind of filmed, it kind of gives you that sense of going back to, say, like the Iron Giant sort of style of animation that I would have grown up with and that I love. And then I saw it again on screen, and the story partnered with it as well is just it's just really heartwarming, and it kind of it has its moments of lows and its moments of highs and everything about it. And again, we talked about the amazing voice cast in Fantastic Mr. Fox. This has an amazing one as well. Mark Hamill, Pedro Pascal, Catherine O'Hara, Bill Nye.
Yeah,
unbelievable, like, collection of people to be involved in a film, and to have so many animals, I suppose, as well, is even better, specifically for this segment.
Let's have a listen to a clip from it. This is when the wild robot, whose nickname is Roz, is that right? Needs to pick some names for some animals, and it's very, very cute.
So what are you going to name him?
I assign to you, Gosling, 0001.
Okay, that sucked.
That sucked.
Whoa. You gotta learn to make stuff up. Come on, find that inside you.
Searching.
Anything yet?
No.
Just have a little fun for once.
Gosling, 0186. There, you see what I did? His numbering is out of sequence.
Oh, now that is cute. I presume there's no sadness in that.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't spoil anything.
Okay. An animal movie usually means some sadness, doesn't it?
But also happiness. Lots of
happiness. But when it's sad, it's sad. You know, I've never seen Bambi. I will never ever see Bambi. It's not going to happen. I don't even think I've seen Free Willy.
Oh, God. Jeez, Orla, there's no saving you.
I know, there's just not. But there's some three animal movies, if you feel that way inclined. Marley and Me, very sad at the ending, just in case you haven't seen it before. Wild Robot, which is out now in cinemas. And then we have Fantastic Mr. Fox. And as Odrin said, some stop animation from Wes Anderson. And it's just so great. But if there's any animal movie you want to watch this weekend, well, the Hallmark Channel is where you'll see Wexford's own Barbara the Sheep. And she is Lamb Chop in Tis the Season to be Irish. Thanks a million, Odrin.
Thank you so much.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
Well, as you know, November is Movember, when men are growing their facial hair into the style of a piece of art up on their upper lip, and sometimes not art at all, just a bit of bum fluff. But also in November, we have National Healthy Skin Month. And that's quite apt, because one Dublin-based facialist says that Irish men are finally prioritising their skin health. That is Ivana Breen, and she's responsible for the glowing skin of Irish celebrities like Greg O'Shea and Samantha Mumba. And she thinks that men are looking after their skin, and that's important for both their physical and mental well-being. And Ivana joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning to talk about that and so much more. Ivana, you're very welcome back to the Sunday Grill. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem at all. And we should, of course, say that Movember is raising awareness for men's health issues too. Men and their skin, they're not great at it, are they? Like, percentage-wise, what do you see when it comes to men versus women coming into your salon on Leeson Street in Dublin? Is it even, 30-70? What way do you see it go?
I would say about 30-35, yeah. Okay. 30-35% of male are coming in to have treatment done, but it's growing. It's definitely growing.
Okay. And are they dragged in, or are they going in themselves? What way does it work?
A little bit of both. quite often it would be, it would be their wives or girlfriends sending them in. And a lot of the men that we see, their wives or girlfriends would be clients of ours anyway. So they just sort of, you know, when they're going along to their appointments, they're going, "Why don't you come in with me?" Or, "You need to get in there and get those blackheads sorted." So it's a little bit of that going on.
Yes, it's all about the blackheads. What kind of treatments are they getting then?
Everything. The same things that women get done. So they're getting facials done, they're getting laser rejuvenation, they're getting veins treated, they're getting pigmentation treated. So all the same, they have the same issues that women do.
Okay, all right. And when it comes to Movember, and if you're a man suddenly growing a moustache that's never really seen the light of day on your face, is that a different problem that women might come up against? Like, is that causing more, greasier skin? And if you're growing hair like that?
No, not on the men, you mean?
Yes, on the men.
Yeah.
Hopefully women aren't growing. Yeah, well, they can, of course. Yeah, you can do what you want. You want to grow a moustache? That's okay.
No, it wouldn't cause any greasier skin. But I suppose for Movember, it tends to be on that upper lip area. And typically, if men have any issues when growing a beard, it would be more down around the neck area. Okay. Because they tend to get ingrown hairs and things like that. Now, it can happen on the upper lip, but it wouldn't cause any, it wouldn't cause the skin necessarily to be more oily. If anything, it might even cause it to be a little bit more dry. So it is about just taking care of the skin and making sure that they're using maybe a little bit of oil on the skin to help keep it hydrated and moisturized and keep the hair soft.
Okay, yeah. And, you know, like we're on the run up to Christmas now and you'll always see these sets out there like moisturisers for men, specifically for a gender. Is that just a marketing ploy? Like, could they just pick up my very expensive, hopefully they won't pick it up, moisturiser and slap that on? Or are we thinking that men need things that are different to women?
I think you're right. A lot of it is marketing, but men do have a slightly different skin type, you know, skin texture to women. Their skin tends to be thicker. They tend to have more oil glands. So therefore, they would tend to get more blackheads. But, you know, in terms of can a man use a woman's moisturiser? Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that. And can a woman use a man's moisturiser? Absolutely. It's very much down to skin specific. So in the same way that some women's skin can be oilier or drier than the next person's, it's the same with men. Some men have very oily skin. Some men have very sensitive, dry skin. So it is when you see this grey, dark packaging that's, you know, skincare for men, it is a marketing thing, predominantly. Okay. Yeah.
I never understood the lack of moisturizer in some men's life. Like I that feeling of really tight skin after washing your face or coming out of the shower, I couldn't live with that, you know?
I guess in times of old, it was a vanity thing and men weren't considered, they were not allowed to be vain and they were not allowed to take care of their skin because it was seen as something that wasn't for men. But now, of course, we know that it's not about the vanity. It's about the health of your skin. And for men, if there's one message that I can get across to men, because I think women are getting much, much better at this, but it's to wear sunscreen on a daily basis. And if they were just doing that one thing, that will really help with this, with their skin and the long-term health of their skin, and it helps to prevent against skin cancer, which is one of the most diagnosed cancers in Ireland at the moment and among men. So it's really important that, you know, throughout November, it is about men's health, and skincare and skin health is a huge part of that. And wearing sunscreen is one of the first steps that you can take to really make sure that you're doing the best that you can for skin. And for men who haven't done anything before and who are just sort of starting out and don't know where to start or what to do, three simple steps. If you wear sunscreen in the daytime and if you cleanse your skin and wear a moisturizer at nighttime, that is sufficient. You know, there is so much more that we could add into that. And I'm sure girlfriends and wives and sisters will, you know, teach them about vitamin C's and retinols and all of that. But if we can get them to even do those three basic steps, that's going a long way towards having a healthier skin.
Excellent. And hopefully men have experienced the utter joy that it is to lie down in on a beautician's bed and experience a facial. There is no better relaxation,
absolutely.
I think.
It's so relaxing.
I love it. It's my favourite thing to do. Can we talk female skin? And Ivana, I think if people looked up your Instagram, Ivana Breen, they would see how phenomenal you look. Will we even say age? It doesn't even matter about ages anymore, does it? You just look amazing.
Thank you.
Like, is there something that you do every day that we could all do? And I know SPF is so important. Is that the big one for you all around?
Do you know, you've just said it there. You've hit the nail on the head. Is there something that I do every day? And it is skincare.
Okay.
Full stop. It's the consistency with my skincare that really makes the difference. So, you know, whatever about chopping and changing skincare, if you're consistent with your cleanser, with your sunscreen, with your moisturizers, with your serums, with retinol, you're going to see results. Okay. And I have been consistent since I was a teenager.
Yes. Okay. Okay. I saw you put up a post recently about retinol, and that if some people aren't seeing it, seeing results, it's because, and I'm a terror for this, putting it on one day and then forgetting about it. So it is that consistency, as you say, for most things.
Exactly. And particularly if somebody's using the prescription retinol, where you might only get away with using it once or twice a week. And people, because they might be getting a reaction to it, tend to say, oh, I don't want to use that because I've got something on at the weekend and my makeup won't sit well. So if that's the case, if you're not using the retinol because it's irritating your skin, then pare it back a bit, go to a lower dose, find a retinol that you can use a bit more consistently, because you're going to end up getting a better result rather than going for the stronger one and going, oh, I'm heading for the stronger one, I'm heading for the Tret because I want to get the best results. You're not going to get results if you're not going to use it. So if that's the case, then just pare it back to a lower dose and build up to the higher doses.
And you said serums there as well. I didn't hear you say eye cream. A serum is enough, is it?
A lot of people can use their serums around their eyes, but then some people would be sensitive to that, which case an eye serum can be better.
And serums are a minefield. So what are we talking serum-wise? Is it the vitamin Cs, the hyaluronic acids? What are they that you would put
exactly.
on?
Exactly. Your serums are going to have your active ingredients. So your vitamin C for the daytime, that's going to act as your antioxidant. It's another layer of armor against UV damage, and it helps to fight free radicals. And remember, the free radicals are those little scavengers that destroy your collagen. And collagen is what we want to preserve and stimulate more of. So vitamin C during the daytime, your retinol serum at nighttime, although some retinols can be used in the day, but you'd need to check the packaging for that. Hyaluronic acid is one of those, not everybody needs it. And certainly, there's a bit of controversy around hyaluronic acid and the use of it, and is it actually getting to where it needs to go, and is it making our skin drier? So it really is dependent on the skin as to whether somebody needs hyaluronic acid or not. But if you have retinol, vitamin C, peptides are another one. So they're like little building blocks of amino acids. They allow the retinol to build the collagen. So and usually good retinols will have peptides in them. Okay. So you don't necessarily need a separate product with that. But it's good to be aware of peptides because they are very good, particularly for around the eye area. If you want to use an eye cream, one with peptides in it is going to work better than one without.
Great. I've seen a bit of Instagram chat about not cleaning your face in the morning. Would you agree with that?
Not everybody needs to, like just splashing your face with water or letting the water from the shower go across your face can be sufficient for a lot of people, unless you're very oily or you're using a lot of product at nighttime and you just feel you need to clean that debris off. But quite often, just the simple action of washing your face in the shower without any particular product is sufficient.
Wow, there's a lot in there, but it's my favourite subject, skincare. So thank you very much for talking to us about skincare for both men and women. If you want to check out Ivana, she is on Leeson Street in Dublin too, and she's on Instagram at Ivana Breen. And you have so much information there about skincare. So a good place to start as well is your Instagram. Ivana, thanks a million for joining me this morning.
Super. Thanks for having me.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It is the Sunday Grill. You're listening to Beat 102-103. Brian's back in studio.
Yay. I'm healthy again.
Struck down by the illness last week, but here he is back in the fold, ready to talk about a biopic with a difference. Will we talk about the time that when you said Pharrell Williams
is not Will Ferrell.
I thought it was Will Ferrell. And we had the most confusing conversation.
Yeah.
It was fun times.
I don't know, was that the most confusing conversation I've ever had? Day to day, any conversation with you is...
Anyway, this is called Piece by Piece. It tells the story of Pharrell Williams, but through Lego. Let's have a listen, and then RB is going to explain it and review it as only he can.
Hey, Pharrell.
Hey, how you doing, man? You know what would be cool is if we told my story with Lego pieces.
Seriously?
Yes.
Lego.
Just be open. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
When I was a kid, I knew I was different. And people would say, oh, that's an odd child. And that crushed my spirit. But I loved music. It was mesmerizing to me. I would see beautiful hues of light cascading. I just thought that's what all black kids did, stared into the speaker like, whoa. Music was just coming out of me. I need to show the world what I can do.
I, Pharrell, I need help on this rap.
Yes, sir.
It's pretty simple. Just let it bounce.
He just went in the room and freestyled it.
It's Teddy, ready with the 1-2 check.
All I cared about was making my own music, but people just said,
no.
I wasn't ready.
There you go, interesting stuff. I'm definitely going to check this out. It is an animated biographic. I am actually.
Are you though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Although I did say last week I'm going to watch Heretic and I've yet to do it, but I've read the whole blot.
Okay.
I know exactly what happens.
That's ruins the way the movie for you. Yeah. Oh, just hey, just read the story.
Now, I do have to do that with horrors because I can't deal with the jump scares and the surprises.
Okay.
So I read the whole plot for Heretic and I think I'd be able for it. I think I'd be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, let's talk about something completely different, and that is the biographical documentary comedy film that is Piece by Piece. It's a really interesting take. Part of me doesn't even know why this hasn't been done before. This just works. Here we go.
Say a word. It does, in a sense. Like It was a cool way of doing it because obviously every single time a kind of biopic type thing comes out, everyone's like, it's always done the exact same way. La, la, la. You know?
Talking heads, archive footage.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And I am a big old fan of those. You know, I love behind the scenes creative documentaries. This is right up my alley. It's music that I like. There's musicians that I like there. Perfect. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lego thing, but it's more interesting to me, like the Lego thing, the people that were doing the interviews, the talking heads for it, didn't know that it was in Lego. They just did it as normal.
Okay, so Gwen Stefani came in, chatted about her relationship with
Pharrell,
and then turned into a piece of Lego, unbeknownst to herself.
She was, they were all Lego all the way through.
Yeah.
But I don't think they knew. And then actually it was kind of cool beforehand because before Piece by Piece started, the Wicked trailer was done in Lego.
Oh yes,
like so. It was brilliant. Like frame for frame.
What a great idea!
So it was just something fun that I was actually on time for the trailers for a change, and I actually got to see something cool. But I don't know. It kind of struck of like it was like, look, his life is interesting. It's cool. He started off and like he came from a place that didn't have any sort of like musical background thing. I did not know that he was like school friends, like the lunch table in his school. Was him
and Annie Orji,
Timbaland, Missy Elliott.
No,
they were all just school friends.
No way.
And they'd hang out every day and play music together. And like that blew me away. That was the most single mind blowing thing in the entire movie.
Totally. Isn't that a real case of, you know, when you see superstars, and you realize, oh, they grew up in California.
Yeah, no, these lads grew up. No, they did. It wasn't California.
No, I know they didn't, but you know what I mean.
They had no kind of music scene where it was. And then this random, I think it was like a soul producer whose name I can't remember.
Okay.
He like brought a studio to their town and did a talent show. And Pharrell, like they had the band The Neptunes and they won the competition and whatever. They went on from there, like, you know.
Wow.
But it was
he's from Virginia Beach in Virginia. Like, he's from, it's not a Manhattan experience or anything, or the Bronx.
And it was just, like, it was an interesting thing of watching his life and seeing how, like, these little kind of opportunities came along and stuff. And, like, I've watched, like, Jimmy Iovine and all these kind of, like, big music heads were in it. And there's things, like, documentaries about them as well that I've also watched.
I loved them all. Series, like,
And what I can absolutely learn from all these music documentaries is if you want to become a musician, hang around studios all the time and then you'll eventually get a shot as a producer.
Oh, you should do that.
What happened for Pharrell. It's what happened for Jimmy Iovine.
Yeah.
And it's what happened for, like, Kanye. All these dudes, the producer dudes, just hung around the studios.
Yeah.
They did everything that wasn't producery just to be there, and then they eventually got a shot because they were like given what they owed,
okay,
and then they didn't waste it. But it was a simple thing of Pharrell, he struggled with like things going well and not going well.
Okay.
But he never had that like, oh my God, like he kind of like lost touch with his friends because he got too caught up in the celeb lifestyle. But like, it wasn't like, oh my God, he had a drug problem or something. It was kind of chill. It was kind of like, he had his ups and downs in terms of music, and then he got like up again, and it's like, oh, nice. I was kind of,
Is it a bit indulgent?
It was quite indulgent, Orla. It was the problem with it was that it just kind of was like, he's one of these people that he has these ideas and they're weird ideas, and then he has a different idea and he follows through with it. If anyone can understand how he feels, it's me. I know exactly. I'm exactly like that. I never follow through on something because there's always something new to do instead, you know. But this kind of trails off a small bit because he does kind of just keep going on about different things and like, oh, this is cool. And then it's like, it's on to the next thing. It's like, oh, I was kind of interested in that kind of story, but the stories themselves weren't exactly, I want to say juicy, but like, it was like, it's a cool story. Okay. He gave his friend a shot and then they had a song together. It's like, oh, that's cool. But there was never any like massive
incident. Lots of anecdotes.
Yeah.
All right.
So it was an interesting watch, but I don't know if it was a cinema. Okay. I don't like the whole Lego like cinematic aspect of it. It's like, it could have been a solid Netflix, straight up normal doc. I would have happily watched it. Maybe have the colors and stuff. Maybe have Lego segments. But the whole Lego story kind of made, I think it kind of made it confusing for people that were going to see it.
Okay. All right. Give it some black puddings there for me, please.
I'll give it like a 7.
Okay. 7 solid, out of 10. Do you know? And as due to my journalistic background, obviously, as you were talking, I looked up both Missy Elliott and Timbaland. And yes, they are both from Virginia and they're all the same age, about 52. So, yeah. Well done, Brian.
Thank you.
Obviously,
I just watched the film.
I was just checking.
They could have lied to me. I would have blindly believed.
Well, it could have been like, you know,
artistic license.
It could have been you got the names wrong. Maybe it was Pitbull and, you know,
Beyonce. I don't think I would have mixed up Pitbull and Beyonce. I know.
You went to see one other film. Let's talk about it quickly. It is Conclave.
Yes.
And the actor is in my head. I can see him, but I cannot think of who he
Ralph
is.
Ralph Fiennes. Yeah.
Tell us about this quickly.
So this is funny because I saw them back to back, like one, like literally went straight from one into the other. So it was an interesting contrast between an animated Lego movie about the music industry into an in-depth discussion of the politics of selecting the new Pope.
Okay.
You know? So it was like everything was pure color, pure energy, pure music into like very just conversation-based arguments, etc., etc.
But you have a quick listen.
Go for it. Yeah, why not?
Let's do it.
The Pope is dead.
The throne is vacant.
What happened?
They say a heart attack.
You know how rumor spreads and 1.25 billion souls watching.
Well got, no, Lawrence.
It seems the responsibility for the conclave falls upon you.
Okay, so we get the general gist of that and we kind of know where that's going. But what an amount of stars. John Lithgow in there, I see. Stanley himself, the Instagram celeb that is Stanley.
Tucci.
I like the look of this, Brian.
It was a very interesting... What?
No, just... I just know by your intonation.
It was very interesting movie. Like it was, I knew going in it wasn't exactly going to be a barrel of laughs. So I was kind of like, I'm like, okay, let's take it as it is. And it ended up being more interesting than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be this discussion about like the religious beliefs, similar to something like Heretic, which was all about religion and stuff. Big couple of weeks for religious movies, to be fair.
Yeah.
If you're a big prayer, you'll be at the cinema these days. But but it was an interesting watch because it was Ralph Fiennes, like he was organizing this group, and there is a lot of politics between the groups, between the different areas. There's like random kind of cardinals show up, and it's like the voting process. And as it was going on, I was like, I was getting into it.
I was
like, It starts off slow and gets faster.
Okay.
Rather than like, do you know the way sometimes it kind of loses itself? Like this kind of like, there's always something happening and it's like, rather than like, things happen because of other things.
Okay.
So it's like, it turns out, oh, this person messed over this person. And so, oh, this person has secrets. That everyone seems to have secrets.
Yeah, so a bit of a thriller.
Yeah, kind of like really kind of edgy little kind of drama. Like,
while at the same time learning about what happens when a Pope dies.
Yeah, that's quite cool as well.
Yeah, I'd love that. Give me some black puddings there.
I'll give that one like an 8.
Okay, lovely stuff.
So you expected that to be lower, didn't you?
No, I did. I did. I'm sorry. I just believe the stereotypes that is Brian Griffin. 7 out of 10 for Piece by Piece, 8 out of 10 for Conclave. They are out now. Two very different movies. Thank you very much, Brian Griffin.
No problem at all.
Talk to you later.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.